Well, again, there's that sort of thing about identifying with the other. But then also sports as like a, I don't know, sports as a kind of fashion runway as well, you know.
That was Lyndon Barwa Jr. talking about his project for the Great Rivers Biennial Display at the Contemporary Art Museum. That'll open in May. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold, and this is Cut and Paste. We'll hear a little bit more about Lyndon Barwa Jr.'s work for the Great Rivers Biennial in a couple minutes. But first, we decided to check in with the artist's past. He was born in New Orleans and most recently came to St. Louis from Portland. He came to attend Washington University's graduate program in the arts. We decided to first ask him about his early influences. So how do you actually come to being like a creative person? How did you first start making art?
Like many people, it started with drawing. And I mean, my father's a visual artist, I should say that. My father, he actually has a background in kind of sculpture and is an incredible draftsman and illustrator. And now he works in the film industry.
Did watching him work influence you as a child, do you think?
His drawing, absolutely, yeah, because that's one of the things he would always kind of mentor me with. One of my earlier memories of like him just being really incredible was there was this like coloring contest for some grocery store down in New Orleans in a, I don't know, however it was. It was like, you know, a really basic illustration, but like he rendered like the hell out of it. Like it was just like amazing, like adding form that didn't need to be there. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Do you remember like what the initial form was and how he embellished it?
I don't remember what that one was. There was another drawing that he had made kind of demonstrating, and it was of a Ninja Turtle, which is like, I mean, anyone who knows me knows that's really meaningful. I think this was around the time that the first live-action film came out, and he made, like, an incredible rendering in color pencil of one of them. And from then on, I just, kind of naturally fell into being able to, like, emulate and render things realistically fairly well. Honestly, the artist that I am now, like, didn't exist until I came here. Like, I think grad school was really, really formative for me in a different way.
I'm really curious about what you mean by that exactly.
Growing up, I was always really intimidated by painting, like anything outside of drawing. And so I, you know, was a really horrible high school student. So I ended up starting with community college and taking like basic like kind of drawing and 2D design courses. So I didn't actually paint until like my third year in college. So up until then, you know, I had these ideas of potentially being an illustrator. But yeah, once I started painting, I realized that's what I wanted to do. I would only think in terms of drawing and painting. And then my experience here really opened that up, and I started to kind of absorb more of what I loved about the work of other artists, which was not being medium or discipline specific, like allowing the work to take whatever form it needs to take.
Yeah, looking at your work, it seems that you use a lot of disparate materials and bring them together in very different ways. Can you talk about how that started?
It began gradually. Like I began like thinking like outside of like the singular image, like the singular drawing or the singular painting, to like grouping them. And then from there, you know, I started like replacing images with sculptures. And so that's how it, and it just kind of went from there.
I'm really curious about the idea of like putting it all together as a group or a series of things as opposed to just one object. When you're doing that, how do you kind of conceptualize how different objects can relate to each other?
Initially, there was always a kind of theme that would guide it. And it also started out being very autobiographical. So I was either painting like scenes or things that were significant to my life, you know, as I remembered them, and then kind of fabricating something, an object, something physical and tangible that was also present at that time. So it was about like forcing the relationship between like this image or this memory or this scene with like something that's actually of the space.
Is there any particular object that you could describe to listeners so they'd have an idea of what you're talking about?
Right. Okay. Well, the first time I did this was, it was a kind of a large scale painting of like the scene of a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. And then shown in conjunction with that was a vase of dead roses that I had spray painted bronze. And that was referencing a very specific time. It was like a 10 year birthday of mine. I was in the picture as a 10-year-old boy. And then the roses are referencing like a decorative element that my mother would have around the house. So just kind of trying to create this context of things as I remembered them at a particular point in time.
You mentioned that anyone who knows you knows that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are meaningful for you. How can you talk a little bit more about that, how that came to be?
I think there was something really incredible when they began to take shape on the live action screen. I mean, there was something really fascinating about seeing these figures like moving in space, doing these amazing things, and also like the personality, the fact that they were like really relatable. Like that was kind of odd and absurd, and I was really taken by that. But I didn't reflect on it in that way until much later. You know, I just like wanted to be a ninja when I grew up. You know, it wasn't until like more recently that I was thinking about like how grotesque and absurd that is, you know, that we could relate to these turtles or we could see ourselves in them.
Why is that grotesque?
In a sense, we're all seeing ourselves as like these other things. And you know, and so I mean in relating to them, you know, we're seeing ourselves as these others, these creatures. And so I found it interesting to like relate that idea, or juxtaposing that idea to sort of relationships between people. And like there's kind of a disconnect between like relating to these like grotesque others and like relating to one another.
How does that then manifest in your art? Is that an idea that's come through?
I try to do that more through like presenting costuming or like altering images, where I would take like figures and change the outfits that they were wearing or something. So that was just talking about like clothing and like the masks we wear and that sort of thing. But how we could all relate to that kind of experience or that kind of desire, and maybe that could be something that we can identify in one another. But I think now like I'm kind of starting to bring that idea back.
Is that some of the work that you're doing as part of the like Great Rivers Biennial?
No, that work will be completely different. There I'll be really entering into some territory that I've never really explored. I think with everything I do, there's some remnant of a previous project or a previous idea that shows up. But the direction of the work for the Great Rivers is quite new and different.
What is this unexplored territory that you're going to explore?
I mean, the two things that will definitely be involved are this idea of athletics as a kind of spectacle, and really looking at that dynamic of opposition, you know, like two sort of entities in opposition of one another. And then also thinking about color in a way that I've never really thought about it before.
Is there anything that's happened in current events or in like athletic current events that's helped shape your interest in this?
Well, again, there's that sort of thing about identifying with the other, but then also sports as like sports as a kind of fashion runway as well, you know, and that dual persona, you know, that takes place between like being unified as a team, but then being an individual as well. So that transitionary state, or those states of transition.
Looking at some of your work, Permutations of Personality, called, and everything was so precise, the glasses, the eyeglasses, the way they were placed on the desk. And I wondered, are you a precise person, or maybe that's in direct opposition to how you are, or does that say anything?
That work was actually my thesis work. I mean, I've restaged that, and obviously now thinking about like actually how much better that could have been, and you know how it could have been actually a bit cleaner, a bit more precise. But I think what ended up happening is that whole scenario is about like construction, you know, the construction of the self or the construction of the individual. So while it's very orderly, some of the materials that are used and kind of the unfinished quality of those materials were intentional, you know, because there's this kind of idea of the reach for like becoming something else or projecting a kind of personality out, but then ultimately sort of the failure of completely following through with that projection.
That sounds very similar to something I saw that you'd written, which is like I can't remember the exact words, but it was related to the idea of like the intersection of design and desire. And I'm curious if you could explain that a little bit for us.
Yeah, I've just been thinking about like visual pleasure in images and just wondering about why we're so attracted to things that look a certain way. You know, a lot of the work that I'm doing now stems from like my collection of magazine photography, and it just comes from like whatever image kind of holds me for a reason, and it's just an image, but it's interesting that it kind of has that, I don't know, like it fosters that sense of desire in me. So I'm wondering like what is that feeling, and why does it exist, and how does that come about?
That was artist Lyndon Barois Jr. discussing what sort of images attract him and inform his art making. This is Cut and Paste. It's produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold. with the help of our producer, Donna Carando.
The music you heard throughout the production was provided by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find the Cut and Paste Arts and Culture podcast online at stlpublicradio.org or subscribe to it through numerous podcast services.